It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN 501. Your time check is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. With Chris Ranji, I'm Anthony Stalter. BT will be back tomorrow here in the Fastlane. He's got Fox Sports Midwest coverage with Dan McLaughlin tonight as the Cardinals take on the Royals. And joining us right now via the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line is Hub Arkish, who has worked a long time in Chicago, and he certainly understands and knows very well the impact of Gale Sayers, not only in the city of Chicago, but the rest of the National Football League. Hub, it's a pleasure to chat with you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing good. So let's start off with Gale Sayers, who passed away this morning at the age of 77. If you can kind of encompass what Gale Sayers meant to the Bears and the NFL, what would you say about Gale Sayers?
Wow. I think that he was the greatest open field runner of all time. I think that's probably the place to start. As a kid growing up in Chicago in the 60s, really the guys who made me love the National Football League beyond Halas and Lombardi were basically Jim Brown, Dick Butkus, and Gale Sayers. And what was so unique about Brown and Butkus is that they were the two most physically dominating players I've ever seen. And then here comes Gale, who didn't have to dominate physically because nobody could get their hands on him. He was just unbelievable in the open field. I was a fan when he was playing. I joined the media a few years after he retired and was fortunate to get to know him all my years working as the color commentator on the Bears Radio Network. Had a number of occasions to work with Gale on projects, and he was a very complicated guy. He was the youngest NFL player at the age of 34 ever inducted into the Hall of Fame. He was unhappy later in life that his career was cut short by the devastating knee injuries. And then once you get past the football part, guys, the part that I just don't think people talk about enough is that what made him one of the great sports icons in history was, Brian's song, his relationship with Brian Piccolo, and the impact they had on desegregating the National Football League. Gale wasn't by any means the first black player to come into the league, but at the time that he did, it was very much as predominantly white as it is predominantly black today. We were right at the end of the Jim Crow era in the South. His first training camp was at the same time that Lyndon Johnson was pushing through the Voting Rights Act, and there certainly was a ton of racial bias, and the fact that George Halas saw the ability and saw fit to make Brian Piccolo and Gale Sayers the first interracial roommates in the history of the leagues, and then the story that, of course, developed because of the tragic cancer and death of Brian Piccolo is one of the great sports stories of all time. So we're talking about a true sports icon, not only for being one of the game's greatest players, but one of its great contributors.
And something that's remarkable about that organization, Hub, is that you've got Gale, and then, a decade later, you've got a little bit over a decade later, you've got Walter Payton, and you have two of the best running backs in the history of the league, all within about a 20-year period. The Bears organization has been, they can't get the quarterback thing figured out, but they've been able to figure out the running back.
Well, Chris, there's very few advantages to being as old as I am, but one of them is that I can even predate you. You're talking about an organization that is considered the home of the middle linebacker. When we start with Bill George, Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, Brian Urlacher, and some are now predicting Roquan Smith might be the next in that line. But even before Gale, it was the home of the running back with Red Grange, B.D. Feathers, Bronco Nagurski, all in the Hall of Fame. I'm forgetting another Hall of Famer. And yet Gale and Walter, being in the modern era, tend to rise above all of them. And so I've been asked the question, and I'm sure you guys have too, as analysts and in the sports business, who's the greatest player, who's the greatest running back you've ever seen? And I've always said that the most dominant running back I've ever seen was Jim Brown. The greatest football player I've ever seen was Walter Payton. But the greatest open field runner I've ever seen was Gale Sayers. And what people don't realize is that I think Devin Hester is kind of another Bear, ironically, is universally accepted as the greatest kick returner of all time. But until he came along, the greatest kickoff returner in history was Gale Sayers. And this is a guy who averaged over 30 yards a return for his career. He had six for touchdowns and was just absolutely remarkable anytime you could get him in the open field. You know, he had the famous six-touchdown game in the rain and the mud in Wrigley Field, the second to last game of his rookie year. And what people don't realize is he only had nine carries from scrimmage in that game. He returned a kickoff for a touchdown. He returned a punt for a touchdown. And I think it was two runs and two pass receptions. Just remarkable open field ability and something that, you know, people talk about Barry Sanders, but Barry Sanders was not as great in the open field as he was. We used to kid that Barry Sanders could run 15 yards in a telephone booth. So, you know, I mean, in short space, you know, I mean, he could shuffle his feet and move. But once Sayers broke the line of scrimmage, the odds were just as good he was going all the way as it was he was going to get stopped.
The executive editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkish, joining us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. So, Hub, let's talk about the current rendition of the Bears. Chris Ronge is a massive Bears fan. He's got his massive hat on his massive head right now, in fact. I continue to call Mitch Trubisky Mitchy Football. And as long as he continues to win games like he has over the last 2 weeks, I'll continue to call him Mitchy Football. After he throws for about 500 yards on that miserable Atlanta defense this Sunday, are people going to start buying into Mitchy Football in Chicago, Hub?
Well, I got to ask you a quick question. I'm not sure. Is that a compliment or is that a derogatory? What does Mitchy Football mean? I'm not
sure. Kind of like Johnny Football.
Johnny Football.
It's Mitchy Football. Yeah, so it's better. Pretty much a slap in the face, Hub. I'll be honest.
I mean, that's not fair. The kid,
yeah, you jerk.
I didn't go that far, Chris.
But he's a jerk. Trust me, I'm in the room with him. He's a jerk.
You know, what people don't realize about Mitch Trubisky, this is one of my favorite little pieces of trivia. No quarterback in the history of the NFL has been drafted in the first round with less college experience than Mitch Trubisky. He had the 13 starts at North Carolina. That was it. And you knew when you drafted him that he was going to take a little longer than most. And you know, the fact that the Bears chose him over Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes is not his fault. And anybody who claims that they had Mahomes rated ahead of him is lying, because I talked to every team where, you know, the draft is what we do at Pro Football Weekly. The Chiefs and two other teams were the only ones that had Mahomes ahead of Trubisky on their draft board. So, you know, revisionist history is great, but it is what it is. Mitch was actually much better against the Giants than he was against the Lions. Now, if you don't watch the tape of that game, you're going to see the stats and say, well, the offense stalled again. But this time his receivers really let him down. He is improved over last year. I was outraged. We were live on the air here on The Score in Chicago the night of the draft. I couldn't believe they left Deshaun Watson on the board and took Mitch Trubisky, because I thought Deshaun Watson, and I still think, has a chance to be a great NFL quarterback. I don't know if Trubisky does or not. But at the end of the day, there's 11 2-0 football teams. To me, the Bears are the softest 2-0 of the 11, and they've got a lot to prove. Now, on the other hand, if you take those 11 rosters and stack them up next to each other, you're not going to find more than three or four teams with more talent. I mean, this defense starts six Pro Bowlers, and they have not yet played up to their potential. And while offensively it's more about some youngsters they're trying to develop, Allen Robinson is the one legit star on the offensive side of the ball, but they've got some guys who are going to be very good. And so this is I think it's one of the most fascinating games on the schedule this weekend. The Falcons are in an absolute must-win situation. When you remember Dan Quinn, 2-7 at the break last year?
Yep.
Two and seven, and they won seven of their, or I'm sorry, they were 1-7, or they were 0-7, whatever it was. They won
seven
of their last
nine. It was bad.
Nine.
They were yeah. Really bad, yeah.
And he saved his job. Now he gets beat Sunday at home by the Bears, he could get fired, you know, and I think his players like him. They're going to be playing for him. This offense is one of the best in the league. You know, they're putting up 450 yards a game on average. They're averaging 32.5 points. The problem is the defense is non-existent. So it's really a fascinating matchup. If the Bears' defense, they got better against the Giants than they were against the Lions, they're still not nearly where they should be. If they play the way they should on Sunday, and if Trubisky can take advantage of the Atlanta defense, then we may be talking about something. But right now, they're two plays away from being 0-2. And so, you know, anybody who wants to you know, brag or scream about the 2-0 start, you better go back and watch the tape. They've got a lot left to prove.
Anthony was very happy. In fact, he fist pumped as soon as you said Dan Quinn might get fired. He's a really big Falcons fan. So, so he's hoping that happens. Meanwhile, we've seen what Cam Newton did. We know yesterday he was on Boston Sports Radio and said that he feels really comfortable where he's at. Of course, it's very early. Things could change. You don't know how it's going to go over the next several weeks. But what you've seen from him early on, what do you think?
Well, you know, Chris, where I start with this is anybody who wants to even try and make an argument that Bill Belichick isn't the GOAT, please don't waste my time. I mean, you know, I never doubted for a minute. And then you got to throw in Josh McDaniels. You know, you got to remember the history on this. As much as Josh McDaniels, like Bill Belichick the first time in Cleveland, by the way, as much as Josh McDaniels was a failed head coach in Denver, he's the guy who drafted Tim Tebow with the 25th pick in the first round. And then you come forward to where I think it was John Fox had taken over, but Josh McDaniel was still there. And Tebow, they install him halfway through the season, change the offense on the fly, finish 500, and beat the Steelers in the playoffs. And so, you know, you knew that they were going to have an idea of what to do with Cam Newton, and obviously they do. Now, can they win games consistently that way? I don't know if they have enough around him on offense to be able to take full advantage of everything he can do. He's never going to be more than an average passer, but he can throw the deep ball, and he can open up lanes because of the threat to run the football. There's going to be clear spots and zones to throw it to. The defense, to me, took the biggest hit with all their opt-outs, losing Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung, but they've still got plenty of talent. They didn't play particularly well in Seattle. They were very good at home against Miami. If they get that defense to come around, they're going to win that division again. You know, now, are they a threat in the playoffs? I'm not personally a big Cam Newton fan. I think one of the issues that's going to be interesting here is that Newton brings a lot more off-the-field baggage than I think some people realize. And if that happens in New England and how Belichick is able to handle it, that could end up being the real story. I never had any doubts he was going to figure out what to do with him on the field.
He's Hub Arkish at Hub_Arkish on Twitter, executive editor, Pro Football Weekly, also an NFL insider, 670 The Score in Chicago. Hub, I've been reading you for a very long time. I've always loved Pro Football Weekly, one of my first purchases each and every summer/fall. So we appreciate you coming on, sharing some insight about Gale Sayers and certainly what's going on right now in the NFL. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. And Anthony, we'll get to know each other. But if Ranji's doing it, I'm going to show up. So I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys inviting me. And everybody, stay safe out there.
Yeah, same to you, Hub. Thank you very much.
I told him to say that.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Yeah,
I did.
That's Hub Arkish. I have. I've been reading Pro Football Weekly for a long time. I used to love getting it when I was a kid. That was like pre-internet.
Yeah,
pre-internet.
It's been doing it a long time.
AOL.com. The
yeah.
To dial up.
You've got mail.
Yeah. Mom, Dad, can I get online? You used to have to ask me to
that's
get
right,
online.
Oh, I remember that.
Me tie up.
Know. Get to off the internet. I got to make a phone call.
Right.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the worst?
It was terrible.
That was really bad. But
you only got to like two websites.
Yeah.
Because it'd take that long to come up on your screen.
By the way, guys, you know AOL still does exist.
Does it?
Yeah. It's a
thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like a website or an email address?
All of it.
Wow.
Boy, if you still got an AOL.com and actively
is this
using
truth
it.
Truth or troll? Is that
no, it's
no,
true.
I think he's right, because I think some people still do have AOL.
AOL.com, still a thing.
Yeah. All right, that's
so
Chris.
So MySpace.
No, it's not.
Yes,
MySpace,
it is.
No way.
Boy, MySpace is still a thing.
That's going to be holding on by a thread.